And the first oral argument of the morning is docket number 23-1308, In Re C.E. Shepherd Company. Mr. Forbes, whenever you're ready, please begin. You've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thank you for taking the time to hear this oral argument. As I'm sure you are all aware, there are three primary issues in this appeal of C.E. Shepherd Company's attempt to register its proposed mark, Modular Gabion Systems. The primary and most important issue in appellant's mind is the fact that the board, in its ruling, fails under the Chenery Doctrine. As I'm sure this panel is aware, Chenery requires that an agency explain all of its reasons for its decision adequately in the record. Unlike an Article III court, as the USPTO argues, it cannot rely on just evidence in the record. It must adequately explain its decision, and that's based off of Charles G. Williams and his progeny, I believe the most recent decision on that.
The trademark court decision here is 53 pages long. Can you identify where the opinion ends up lacking in some way?
Well, as set forth in our briefs and I'll flip to the opinion, Your Honor, one of the primary issues that appellant sees is that the entirety of the decision divorces the analysis from the actual relevant public. Under the required factors that must be considered in looking at a mark, particularly with genericness, the relevant public is what is to be considered. And the relevant public, everybody has agreed, the relevant public are contractors, U.S. government customers, and among other things, as well as the entities performing large-scale erosion control projects. These are largely, according to the affidavits set forth in the record, which a number of them are at Appendix 555 and through, I believe, 600.
To follow up on Judge Chen's question, though,
is there a
specific page that you think is lacking or something you can point to in the decision?
Sorry, Judge Chen. There is something specific lacking in the decision. I will pull the actual page, Your Honor. When you look at the decision on page, again, on Appendix 13, it defines the general public. But when you look
relevant
at the analysis,
public, yeah.
When you look at the analysis of when you look at the analysis of the definition of modular gabion systems, the board takes a generic look at and the dictionary definitions. And
so are you referring to Appendix page 15? Do you have a page?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Appendix page 15. I apologize. Appendix page 15. The board looks at modular gabion and then system using the Webster's dictionary definitions.
Right.
That was after it already analyzed that this was a very niche trade market, and the record indicates that the niche trade market looks at the ideas of modular and systems differently. Modular is customizable, and the affidavits from the customers as well as the other evidence in the record, demonstrate that particularly the advertising information, the flyers from the appellant, indicate that these are not prefab materials as indicated by the dictionary definition. They're actually customizable. And when you...
I guess the question, though, is not so much how much does the term modular gabion systems, your applied for mark, match up to whatever products you're selling. The question is, to what extent is the term modular gabion systems generic for what you applied for, which I believe was gabions of steel wire, is that right?
Well, the application said gabions of steel wire. What we argued at the board level and what the board accepted from the standpoint of taking everything in the light most favorable to the applicant was that the actual genus of product is wire mesh products.
Could you explain why you wanted to redefine the products related to your mark from gabions of steel wire to wire mesh products?
Because
that's what you applied for.
I understand, Your Honor. And, wire mesh products is a more appropriate indicator of what modular gabion systems, the trade does. Modular gabion systems doesn't just sell gabion products. Their brand products also include mattresses and roll mesh.
You're saying modular gabion systems right now in reference to the name of the company, right? Not the...
In reference to the brand, yes.
Right. This is a little confusing. We've got the name of, I guess, the company's modular gabion systems, and then your mark for your products is modular gabion systems. Is that right?
The mark for the products is modular gabion systems, Your Honor. The name of the company is C.E. Shepherd Company, L.P. Modular gabion systems, there used to be a modular gabion systems incorporated. Mm-hmm. That sold the modular gabion systems products. That was owned by C.E. Shepherd Company, L.P., but that was dissolved and moved in as a division of C.E. Shepherd Company, L.P. So there is a modular gabion systems division that markets the modular gabion systems product under the company C.E. Shepherd Company, L.P.
Okay. Mr. Forbes, we're already running out of time. Can we put the Chenery legal argument to the side?
Okay.
And focus just on the fact-finding the board made that modular gabion systems is generic for the goods that you're applying for, and then if you have time, also getting to the acquired distinctiveness or lack thereof fact-finding by the board.
We
have to give a deferential standard review here for those fact-findings, and so you have to identify to us as quickly as you can what was it that the board did that was so unreasonable in reaching its findings.
Well, with respect to genericness, with the definition, modular gabion systems, it was divorced from the trade definition, which in light of, because the primary consideration is the actual market that's using this product. So it's more appropriate to use the trade definition because this is a narrow trade, primarily sales to the federal government. The board also failed when it analyzed the usage by the public. It pointed to Amazon products that don't use the full name of the mark that we are seeking to register. It doesn't look at the requested mark as a whole. That's
right.
Part of the problem.
As I recall, they identified different types of third-party usage evidence, some using the term modular gabion systems, other usages from modular gabions, and then others for gabion systems.
The only usage of modular gabion systems in the U.S. during the relevant time frame was an entity that actually misappropriated C.E. Shepherd Company's modular gabion systems mark. And when C.E. Shepherd Company sent a cease and desist letter, that usage was withdrawn.
Wasn't there evidence that those websites that the board relied on were accessible in the U.S. or to U.S. customers?
They are accessible to U.S. customers, but...
And they're in English, right?
They are in English, but...
So doesn't that make that an appropriate consideration for the board to weigh into its evidentiary decision?
Judge Stark, no, because the customers, again, that C.E. Shepherd Company utilizes, or that utilize C.E. Shepherd Company's products, they're federal government agencies, they're contractors working for federal government agencies, state agencies. These are miles-long, multi-year projects. These are not items that are going to be purchased off to Amazon, things of that nature. And that's the type of information that was relied upon. And they're prefab. They're not customized. And again, with the idea of these being prefab products.
What
I'm
is
sorry.
Your best support for saying it's improper to rely on this information?
I'm sorry, Judge Cunningham.
You were just having a nice chat, I think, with Judge Stark about the information that was relied on.
Yeah.
Do you have some good legal support to say it's improper to rely on that information?
Yes, Your Honor. There is, in our brief, it says,
Mr. Forbes, maybe you can find it on rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor. With respect to acquired distinctiveness, again, the board, you know, C. Shepherd presented evidence of all six of the relevant factors, and the board really discounted those factors without any explanation. They treated them all as neutral. For example, the affidavits from the customers that C.E. Shepherd provided, the board said that that wasn't probative because they were customers, but the board didn't analyze the substance of those affidavits. And so the affidavits, the actual substance of those affidavits should have been considered, as well as the fact that those customers are leaders in the particular consuming public that this mark targets. It also ignores the idea that, from the standpoint of advertising, that this particular type of trade does not, this particular type of trade does not advertise, because, again, these, at least not in the context of like a Gibson guitar or soccer balls, which are the types of cases that the board relied on in analyzing.
Mr. Forbes, you're pretty deep into your rebuttal. Do you want to still reserve time for a rebuttal?
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Yeah, we'll reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, okay?
Thank you.
Let's hear from the government.
May it please the court. Modular gabion systems is generic for modular gabion systems. They are a kind of wire mesh product. And substantial evidence supports the board's finding here, because not only do we have a wealth of C.E. Shepherd's own use of modular gabion systems to identify a kind of wire mesh product, of a kind of gabion of steel wire, But we also have third-party examples. The industry, the trade, uses modular gabion systems to identify a kind of wire mesh product. Whether we're calling it a wire mesh product or a gabion of steel wire, modular gabion systems is still the name of a kind of product.
Can you explain why the Trademark Board entertained the idea of recharacterizing what the class of goods that were relevant here from what was actually in the application to something else?
Well, Your Honor, typically the board would look to the identification of goods to define the genus. But here, where there was evidence of record and CE Shepherd was relying on that to describe its goods. And I'd like to note that at APPX 99, this is a screen capture of CE Shepherd's website. I'm going to quote, "Modular gabion systems are engineered welded wire mesh products." I don't think the board had to go too far to say that based on this record, they could define the genus as wire mesh products.
But normally, I take it they would just look at what the application says, and here they seem to go further than that. Why would they do that here?
Your Honor, here how they explained it was that they said that in order to, I believe it was, assuage CE Shepherd, they would define it as the wire mesh products, right? Because doubt on the issue of whether a term is generic must be resolved in favor of the applicant, and to assuage applicant, we analyze the genus of goods as wire mesh products. That's APPX 12. So here they were looking at this and, as counsel said, looking at it in the light most favorable.
Is there any dispute that it changes the analysis, whether we understand the class of goods to be, you know, gabions of wire steel versus wire mesh products? The analysis is exactly the same?
I think so, because here we have all of this evidence.
But it's exactly the same because gabions of wire steel is some species of the genus of wire mesh products. And if the term modular gabion systems is in fact generic of some species of wire mesh products, then that's all that is required for finding that the term is generic for the goods applied for or for wire mesh products.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. In Re Cordura?
Right.
Okay.
And also Crown Royal, where Zero, right, was a subgenus of the beverages.
Royal Crown.
Sorry. I misspoke.
Can you also respond to opposing counsel's argument and concern he raised about looking at the foreign sources by the board?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Here at APPX 36 and 37, we have the board's analysis of the foreign evidence. And they relied on this court's precedents, Bayer, for their guidance to determine whether, you know, what weight they would be giving this evidence. And they looked at things like, is the foreign website, is it in English? Are these, you know, products, are these goods of a kind that, you know, could be purchased by a U.S. consumer? And on this record, what they had was evidence that these manufacturers, these companies that had these websites were actually selling internationally. They were selling to the United States. They had phone numbers for U.S. consumers to call to get more information and to purchase the modular gabion systems they were advertising. So they were citing to APPX 499, 505, and 508 when they made this determination.
But what about the contention that the purchasers here are typically government entities for mile-long gabion walls, and they're not going to just go on Amazon or foreign versions of Amazon and you know, buy these items? Did the board consider that evidence, or did it have that evidence in front of it?
When we're talking about a foreign website, it doesn't have to just be, you know, someone will absolutely purchase from it, right? Because the information is out there and informs the meaning of these terms for the potential consumer. And counsel says that the consumers are, U.S. agencies, but that might be true for its current consumers, right? The affidavits, the information that they provided. But the relevant consuming public extends beyond the current purchasers, right? It involves prospective purchasers, purchasers who may just be doing a Google search to figure out more.
I thought the relevant public here was defined to encompass not just the Army Corps of Engineers, but it's also landscapers, contractors, architects. And so we're dealing with a bunch of non-government entities, including government entities, as being defined as being part of the undisputed relevant public here.
Exactly, Your Honor. Because the relevant consuming public goes beyond just, right, a U.S. government agency, but does include the more general public, so to speak, it is not inappropriate to look at these foreign websites.
Could you speak to the evidence about, I think it's Chunky River Supply copying maybe a photograph and maybe copying their mark, and what evidence or what weight the board gave to that evidence?
Certainly.
Do you think we should consider it? Or do you think we should push it to the side?
The board didn't consider it as evidence of intentional copying because...
But it did consider it as evidence of third-party usage of, that would support the idea that this term is generic, right?
Yes, it did consider it, but it also did note in, in its footnote that C.E. Shepherd had presented, you know, some arguments that this was, you know, their photograph on the website and that it shouldn't be considered. So taking it from the perspective, right,
Did you say it should be, the board said it should be considered, or the board said it should not be considered?
I'm so sorry, I misspoke. They considered the argument and addressed it in the footnote. And I'm sorry,
So maybe appendix page 23?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. Right. In that footnote, it addresses that argument, but I also note that in the footnote, the board isn't citing to C.E. Shepherd's opening brief there. They're citing to the reply brief. So to the extent that C.E. Shepherd didn't make this argument before the board initially, there may be a question of whether it needed to be addressed. But to your point of whether it was intentional copying under the acquired distinctiveness analysis, what the board had before it was C.E. Shepherd's argument that they had our photograph, we told them to take it down, they took it down. But that isn't evidence of intentional copying, that's evidence of someone being told to take something down and doing it. And there are any number of reasons that a party could do that. It could be to avoid litigation. That isn't a reason to consider it intentional copying under this factor.
I would think you would argue that you don't need Chunky River. You've got all these other third-party usages. You've got the applicant's own use. You've got the dictionary definitions. When you add them all up, modular, Gabion, systems, the meaning that you take away is exactly the same as just the mere combination of those three words by definition.
Certainly,
Your Honor. Therefore, there's substantial evidence that this mark is generic.
That is absolutely what I should have said, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, how about this? I think this is one that you'll probably agree with. If we agree with the board that the proposed mark is generic, we do not need to reach the issue of acquired distinctiveness. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
When we look at the applicant's own uses of modular Gabion systems in its own brochures and whatnot, sometimes it's hard to tell whether they're using it in a mere generic way, or they're using it as an attempt to identify and put promote a brand name called Modular Gavian Systems. Now, maybe there's an argument that, well, you're still, it's still a generic term, regardless of any business's attempt to try to use a generic word as a brand name, but nevertheless, it could be still, nevertheless, an attempt to use it in a brand name kind of a way. And it felt a little ambiguous to me, some of the usages by the applicant. You know, one could read some of those references to Modular Gavian Systems in its papers as indicating that it believes it has a brand called Modular Gavian Systems. I mean, it capitalizes the M and the G and the S, right?
That's correct.
Is that kind of an indicator to the trademark office that you're using those that term in kind of a brand name way rather than just a regular old generic way, like if you were to say the word stapler?
Well, certainly capitalization is something that the office looks at. But as you pointed out earlier, Your Honor, the overwhelming evidence in this record is demonstrating that Modular Gavian Systems are a kind of Gavian. And so any capitalization, any use of the TM symbol isn't going to change what the consumers perceive this phrase to be, right? The name of a kind of Gavian of steel wire into a trademark. But if there's a certain usage that you'd like me to speak to, I'm happy to do so.
I don't remember their exhibits using TM next to the term. Did they?
I don't have the exact APPX site, but one of their website screen captures was originally submitted. And in a second response or a request for reconsideration, the phrase Modular Gavian Systems then had the TM symbol after it. And if there's nothing else.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Dickey.
Thank you. We ask that the court affirm the board's decision on both grounds.
Your Honors, to answer Judge Cunningham's question, and I apologize, the citation with respect to use of foreign countries that CE Shepherd Company relies upon is Persons Company versus Chrisman, 900 Fed Second, 1565, which is a 1990 decision by this appellate board. With respect to the idea of what CE Shepherd Company was arguing about, the propriety of considering Gavian Systems or Modular Gavian separately, CE Shepherd Company would point the board to the state of P.D. Beckwith, which holds that the board's consideration of fragments of the parties is improper. The only proper consideration is how the phrase is used as a whole. And that's a big problem with how the board analyzed it, and the board does not explain anywhere why it did this. Also, when you are looking at the U.S. examples that the board relied upon, aside from the one singular U.S. use of Modular Gavian Systems, which was the Chunky River Supply, again, a misappropriation issue, the other ones that it relied, and that would be the only quote-unquote competitor at this point, the other usages of Modular Gavian Systems all point back to C.E. Shepherd Company, which is further evidence of C.E. Shepherd Company's brand name usage, trade name usage, trade dress of this mark. And there's no explanation in the record of indicating why this was discarded, why this wasn't considered. It's just, hey, here's a website that also says Modular Gavian Systems without denoting at all that this links to CE Shepherd Company. Are there any further questions from the panel?
Thanks very much, Mr. Forbes. The case is submitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.